How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back, and the first pitch is on Netflix. The New York Yankees, led by 7-time All-Star Aaron Judge, head to the San Francisco Bay to take on Rafael Devers' San Francisco Giants. This season kicks off with one exclusive opening night game. Watch MLB Opening Night, the New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants, live on Netflix. Wednesday, March 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
President Barack Obama.
Virginia, we are counting on you. Republicans want to steal enough seats in Congress to rig the next election and wield unchecked power for 2 more years. But you can stop them by voting yes by April 21st. Help put our elections back on a level playing field and let voters decide, not politicians. Vote yes by April 21st.
Paid for by Virginians for Fair Elections.
Spring starts at the Home Depot, and we are bringing the heat to your backyard this season. Fire up the flavor with our wide variety of grills for under $300, like the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill that's perfect for hosting your spring cookout. Then set the scene and turn your outdoor space into the go-to spot with patio sets for every budget. Bring it this season with grills that deliver flavor and patios that set the vibe from the Home Depot. Start your spring with low prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. See homedepot.com/pricematch for details.
We're far enough removed now from the New England Patriots' remarkable 2025 season that we really need to turn our attention to all the work that's been put into and all the work that they need to continue to put into a 2026 campaign that some see potentially as a candidate for regression, while others see as a chance to remain a contender. How do we feel about the offseason work they've put in? What are the draft needs they have? And could one of the most essential contract extensions be at hand? Our pal, the guy with the best mustache, who also does the best podcast from his office / his son's bedroom, my guy, Henry McKenna from Fox Sports, joins us for a brand new 6 rings in football things.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Winning on 3. 1, 2, 3, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Roman. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers. This is 6 rings and football things.
To see him here last year, to be able to make it all to the Super Bowl, like I was telling people in Chicago, like, literally telling people during training camp, like, watch out for New England. I'm telling you, he's going to get those boys turned around and is going to have success. So none of this is surprising at all.
That's one of the prizes of the New England Patriots offseason on a 1-year, $9 million deal. Kevin Byard, who fills in for Jalen Hawkins, who departed for the Baltimore Ravens on a 2-year, $10 million deal. Byard, of course, a Vrabro, as we like to call him here on 6 rings. Someone who is eminently familiar with Mike Vrabel, played for him previously, and has a lot of people thinking the Patriots defense has a chance to actually be as good, if not better, than it was when it caught a lot of people off guard last year. And one of the cornerstones of that defense is cornerback Christian Gonzalez. And wouldn't you know, the first guy that I saw who had mentioned the Patriots actually had had conversations to some extent with Gonzo on what will likely be a lucrative extension is our friend Henry McKenna from Fox Sports. Give him a follow at Henry C. McKenna. He's back here on 6 rings and football things with your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. And yes, baseball season is around the corner. And I promise before season's end, I will give the 999 challenge a try. Henry, do you think you could pull off a 999?
I'm sorry to say that I don't know what that is. Okay. But yes, blindly.
That's the way to be, man. Always say yes at the start of the pod. The 999 challenge is 9 innings of baseball, 9 hot dogs, and 9 beers.
Oh, well, like, what if you've already done it?
That's what I'm talking about. Wait. Yeah, I mean, come on. Not that, is it that hard? I mean, I know you're...
Why is it called a challenge if I do that every time I'm there?
How do you do that and keep such a svelte frame? These are the things we need to explore during today's program. All right, so I saw the other day one of the I think it was Carlos, Los Talks Pats, who had divined from one of your columns that the Patriots had actually contacted, or that there had been some sort of conversation between Christian Gonzalez and the New England Patriots on a long-term extension. We had not seen confirmation from high nor low all offseason long, but people continued to wonder, what's the lag? What's the drag? Tom Curran had popped on our radio station and said he wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots kind of slow play it, because they have him for two more years. Then they could tag him. But that almost sort of seems like the way that they did business previously. And I play that Byard clip because, you know, coming off of this incredible run, with the good vibes already rolling through this offseason, Ben Volen even writing a Sunday Boston Globe column saying, like, wow, optimism surrounds the Patriots. Everybody loves Drake. Everybody loves Vrabel. It doesn't seem like, kind of like, for lack of better phrasing, cheaping out would be the way to go with a star that you like. Every Belichick team that had a star cornerback, that team often went to the Super Bowl. So it's refreshing to hear. What do you know, or how do you feel about that so far, my guy?
Well, I'll start with what I know, which is that, yes, the Patriots had preliminary conversations with Gonzalez's camp at the Combine in Indy. Those conversations were not very extensive, and there hasn't been a whole lot of dialogue since, from what I understand. One name that I tossed out there, you know, was Trent McDuffie. He was the big ticket cornerback who not only got traded from Kansas City to Los Angeles, but then got a major deal. But I see Gonzalez's market exceeding that like pretty significantly. So, in terms of what I think, I think Gonzalez has made himself more and more indispensable, both from an X's and O's standpoint and from a leadership standpoint. I spoke to him at the end of last year, end of last season, just picking his brain on what it's been like for him to grow up in this system. He reminds me a lot of Stephon Gilmore from a temperament standpoint. Stephon Gilmore was sort of famously, and among reporters, it was a bit infamous that you could barely hear him during his interview. Like, it was hard to get a microphone on close enough to detect
what
he was saying. But it wasn't necessarily indicative of him having a quiet voice in the locker room, at the very least metaphorically. Like, he was a big presence even when he didn't say much, even when you could barely hear him. And I think Christian Gonzalez is similar. He's a very soft-spoken guy. He doesn't go out of his way to speak, certainly not to the media, but not necessarily even with his teammates. But a lot of guys come to him now with X's and O's questions. A lot of guys come to him with personal questions about their family, about their lives, about all sorts of issues off the field. So Christian said that that was like an opportunity for him to be a bigger part of the team. And it's such a Mike Vrabel thing. Everything we've heard about Vrabel is that, like, he, you know, I spoke to Mike in the middle of last season for a feature I was writing about how everybody calls him an asshole, but all those guys that call him an asshole will also say that they love him. And that's because Vrabel may be a bit prickly. He may be a tough ass. He might talk a lot of smack, but he also will put you up in his house without asking when you're going to leave. You're welcome to stay in his basement or his guest room or whatever he has available at the time, you know, in different points of his career. So as a player, as an assistant coach, as a head coach, he and his wife Jen are always open to doing what they can to help people. And so I think you see Vrabel's personality trickling into the players in a really expedient way. And so, bringing sort of everything that we're saying together, you talked about Kevin Byard. We talk about a lot of the guys they signed in free agency who are Vrabel bros. Christian Gonzalez seems to be growing into the Vrabel bro mentality, if you will, to kind of use your words. I think that's what makes him a very clear candidate to get one of the biggest, probably the biggest cornerback contract on the market. Now, when will that come? I don't know. Maybe closer to training camp. Maybe they will play it a little bit slow. But by playing it slow, I don't think they're saving money ultimately. Like, I don't think there's any safety in waiting. So I think that's a matter of seeing how this offseason shapes up, potentially with an AJ Brown trade, potentially with other positions kind of falling into place. And ultimately, like, the Patriots aren't really looking for the best players anymore. That was last offseason. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the right players. They're starting to fill in the most important positional needs, situational needs. And so I think they've got a lot of money to work with. I think that they're trying to build the best roster against regression and obviously for progress too. Once they've settled a lot of that stuff, they'll probably circle back to Gonzalez again and probably try to hammer out a deal to use the cap space that they have to build a key cornerstone player in the organization.
Yeah. To me, again, like, based off of last offseason when they went on a massive shopping spree, spending the budget basically, as I've been saying, of like an Avengers movie to rebuild the Patriots, you're talking about taking a team that two straight years had been in the ashes of the NFL. 2023, 4-13, 2024, 4-13. And let's be honest, they shouldn't have been 4-13. That was maybe a 2-3 win franchise tops. Yet Buffalo was better at losing in the finale with Joe Milton before Robert Kraft famously walked in and told Gerard Mayo how heartbreaking it was that he had to fire him after 1 year. But you know what? The same way that Robert Kraft spent money to tell Mayo and the staff that Elliott Wolf paid to go away, that Mike Vrabel was able to entice people to pay the suck tax, bring people in, built a quality roster with the pieces that he salvaged from the roster of 2024. And now all of a sudden they're far ahead of schedule. They don't have to rebuild anymore. They're a competitive football team. But I see, that's why I think that it would make all the sense in the world if Gonzo is such a high character guy, if so many people look to him or lean on him in that sort of Gilmore-esque capacity. And trust me, as someone who's had to play his sound bites on the radio before, Steph Gilmore's, you always had to crank the volume up and amplify them as much as you could, because people are like, I'm sorry, what was he saying there? I couldn't really hear him. But he was a silent assassin. That's why the comps between Gilmore and Gonzo seem to be so apt. I can't imagine that Mike Vrabel, who has told you how much he loves his players, you know, how much we all loved watching him outside the locker room when they lost the Super Bowl, 307 days. Come on. We're all, you know, we battled together. Let's go get pissed off together. You see how much this guy cares. He talks about prioritizing high character, competitive guys and mental health. If Gonzo rounds out that whole package, I can see them trying to get it done. It makes a lot of sense. Finish the roster now with any other moves you need to make, leave some money available for AJ, sign your draft picks. And then before camp, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, on day three of right before camp or on by day three of camp 2026, boom, Trent McDuffie's contract left behind by Christian Gonzalez's 5-year, $180 million blockbuster cornerback deal, resetting the secondary market.
Right. And it makes sense. It also is the type of deal that it wouldn't immediately hit the cap. Usually you have, like, because his rookie year will finish, right? And so, or his rookie contract will kind of like toll. So they can build out a deal that is super team friendly if they get ahead of it now. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't think that they're very far along. And so it will depend upon how difficult both sides want to make it. Because if the Patriots are just super generous and they put a lot of money on the table, which I don't totally expect them to be. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think necessarily that if the money looks right in terms of guarantees that Gonzalez's side will make it all that complicated. Right. So it should be a doable look at what just happened with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? Like, that's a
he
guy
got paid that got, I mean that $168 million. I mean, he's super good, but damn, that's some money.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the Seahawks made that uncomplicated for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? They said, look, you are probably the best receiver in the league right now, and where there is some ambiguity, we will clarify it over the next year so that you're wide receiver one for this year, next year, and the year after, right? And they're also not paying their quarterback yet, or period, because it's Sam Darnold, and he's on the sort of like middle-class quarterback deal, which is still a lot. I think it's still $40 million a year. But that creates enough flexibility because it's not $55 million a year, which is what like the Jaguars and the Bills are paying their guy. So it creates some – but what – that quarterback situation does, and what the Patriots have even more so is the sort of rent controlled or at least the moderate deal. Right. And that allows flexibility to go out and sign players that mean a lot to your organization. And you can, as you're saying, make a statement to your organization about homegrown talent that if you show us what you can do, we're not going to be like the Bill Belichick era. We're not going to say, all right, like we made you go make your money somewhere else.
And then when that team cuts you 2 years later, come back at a discount on our terms.
Which is really good business, but it was good business for the second decade dynasty where they're clearly established. They have head coach and quarterback. They have a well like vetted group of coaches that can work with the front office to bring in guys that they can draft, develop, et cetera. I mean, the Patriots were a well-oiled machine in that second decade of the dynasty. But this isn't that yet. And I think people need to be open-minded. If anyone is resistant to the idea of Gonzalez getting paid, which I doubt there is anyone, but this is good business at this phase of a team building.
Yeah, I mean, the kid was a stud in the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. He knew he had the most eyeballs on him. And if I would hope that he didn't treat it like, oh, this is a free agency game for me, so I better show up and show out. Like, no, I think he can elevate his game. Look, you need to do nothing more. And my last word on Gonzo is that, yes, I think Vrabel does want to set a precedent. Yes, he does want to reward the homegrown talent. Yes, he does want to keep guys that he likes personally, likes for his locker room, and likes on the field around. And also, like, it would be detrimental to just sort of like let somebody walk and say like, oh, they're just doing business just like they did with Belichick. Like, no, Gonzo can elevate his game. What did they lose prior to the Super Bowl? One game last year where Christian Gonzalez played and was healthy. You saw the secondary issues and the defensive issues that they had in the first three games last year where they went 1-2. Whether, there's some sort of correlation between the way Gonzo played and the way Drake May read defenses or the way the offensive line blocked, doubtful, but he is one of those guys where when he's out there, the whole of the team is most definitely better. A couple other things I wanted to throw at you real quick. No one cares that Josh Dobbs was cut, but he's a very nice guy. However, that does free up the number 11 now officially for the New England Patriots, which means that a certain Arthur J. Brown should, Adam Schefter's reported this morning that the Eagles are most definitely interested in trading A.J. Brown after June 1st, with the Patriots the most likely landing spot. I mean, tell me I'm crazy to keep doing the math thinking that while Romeo Dobbs, who I think is like Deion Branch plus for a new generation, could make a vintage McDaniels number one receiver per se, that if you have the chance to get one of Vrabel's favorites in here and try to squeeze the last 2 years of good juice out of him, maybe it's going to be a 2 and a 3. I don't know if it's going to be a future one, but I think that deal gets done, shortly right after the June 1st cap cut comes in.
Yeah, I think what the Patriots did was smart if they are going to end up getting A.J. Brown. Look, Howie Roseman is one of the best deal makers in the NFL. He is the Eagles GM, and he will do everything he can to leverage the power that he has to get the best deal. We've seen it year in, year out. He very rarely makes mistakes. When he does, he's not afraid to cut ties with the situation or the player or the whatever. And I think Howie Roseman must recognize that he's in a super unpowerful situation. He's vulnerable to what A.J. Brown has said and done over the past 2 years to make complicated and bad, frankly, the relationship between A.J. Brown and the team. And A.J. Brown continues to do everything he can to stoke conversation around his trade this offseason by going on Julian Edelman's podcast, for example.
And Wink, are you going to be a pay? Oh, like that whole, like everything right. that he's done. Oh, I'm just trolling. No, you're not. We all know. Then Gonzo, of all people, is the one who retweeted that meme from last week, which makes everyone think that there is some underground channel discussion going on.
Yeah, and I spoke to someone with familiarity with the Eagles organization that sort of understands and is privy to some of the decision-making there. And they said that A.J. Brown's probably getting traded, you know, and that this is kind of going to happen, whether it's June 1 because the team that wants him wants to trade 27 picks, or whether it's that the team doesn't like this year's draft, which is entirely possible, and is willing to give a little bit more to the Eagles to have to create some cap difficulties, but overpay. Like, think about what happened with Jalen Waddle, right? We saw Jalen Waddle go for a first round and a third, I believe.
It was like a 1-3-4 with a four coming back or something like that.
Right.
Like it was a lot, surprisingly.
And a flip. Right. Nominally, it seems like a lot. I agree with you. But what if you look at it, it's a 31. It's pick 31 in round one, right? Of all the rounds, obviously, round one picks are the ones that are most held unequal. As in, like, you know, there's an infinite measure of value when you go from one, which is the most valuable pick in the draft, to 32. There's no, it's almost impossible to contextualize how different those two picks are in value. So you call something a round one pick, but if you say it's a 31, right, that's a whole different strategy.
It's a high second, really, at that point.
And in this year's draft, more than ever, it's actually like a high second. It's like a mid second. And I know people always impress upon us, oh, this year's draft isn't what most years' drafts are. This year's draft is legitimately lacking in everything. I mean, it's lacking in star power. It's lacking in depth. There are some positions that people can get excited about. It's like, oh, if you go for tight end on day three, you might actually get a decent player. Well, yeah, but if you need an all-around playmaking tight end, even Kenyon Sadiq has some limitations in that he's kind of a small dude. Even though he's an athletic freak, he's the most athletic tight end we've ever seen. He's also smaller than most tight ends are that perform well in this NFL. So there's some question about what things he can do and whether you might have to game plan around his weaknesses more than you would for a tight end that's projected to go in the top 15.
Right.
So that's just one microcosm. So that's what I'm saying about like value for 27, where everyone's super excited about the draft. Do you want to play off that and say, oh, everybody's overexcited about 27? Let's just ditch our first. We'll take AJ Brown now. We're good. Or do you want to give up a first now and kind of cash out on this draft and say, no, we're good. Like, not really. I don't really need Omar Cooper. I don't really need you know, whatever else that
some
might
swing tackle from Arizona State or whoever it is that's been mocked to the Patriots.
Score more with the college branded Venmo debit card and earn up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash. Got paid back with the Venmo debit card? You can instantly access your balance and spend on what you want, like game day snacks, gear, tickets, and more. The more you do, the more cash back you can earn. Plus, there's no monthly fee or minimum balance. Sign up now at Venmo.com/collegecard. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Select schools available. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply at Venmo.me/stash terms. Max $100 cash back per month.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink. Then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Clemson's right tackle to be Morgan Moses' backup. I forget the kid's name, but he I had him in my last mock draft. He makes a lot of sense. His developmental right tackle, he needs a year at least. You sit him behind Morgan Moses. Maybe he's a really good player in 27. You know who's going to be a really good player in 26? Probably AJ Brown. So it's about it's about team building and like trying to figure out what you want as an organization. Ultimately, I don't think you lose by giving up a late pick.
Yeah, I'm sure the Patriots would love to give up some picks now because this draft isn't as good, and it's going to be harder to part with picks next year when the draft supposedly is a pantry stock full of talent. But if you can't trade picks until after June 1st, and Philadelphia is willing to make the move, or rather needs to make the move, because Howie Roseman, unfortunately, is in this cap-strapped, over-leveraged play, and AJ wants out, then that's the way that it's going to be. If I could go to your poly market, to your Kalshi right now, and make a bet predictively if this happens, 100%. I think right now, too many stars are aligning, and I think AJ Brown is going to be in Foxborough with Romeo Doubs, which will give Doubs a chance to be Devontae Smith opposite AJ Brown, which will just elevate this offense to a whole new level. And then we'll be doing this podcast a year from now saying like, wow, that's crazy. They paid Gonzo $35 million a year. Isn't it going to be even crazier when they pay Drake $70 million a year because he was an MVP front runner again with Brown and Doubs and Henderson and Mondre?
That was the thing I forgot to mention, but was thinking about in the Gonzo conversation. I don't think Drake May's contract will influence Christian Gonzalez, but I do think it's relevant because I don't know if Drake's going to make $70 million, but we haven't seen anyone make more than Dak at $60 million, and Dak signed almost 2 years ago, I think. So the market is ripe for a sort of upward growth, given what we've seen at other positions. I think we saw with the Tua deal, with the Kyler deal, even with the Jalen Hurts deal, we saw overgrowth in the year where Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, and Tua all got like 50 to 55.
Crazy money.
But we saw like profound overgrowth when Dak got 60, even though he deserves every penny, frankly, because it's the Cowboys, and that's just how Jerry operates. So the thing that's interesting about the QB market is the guys that are due to make more money this offseason are CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. Those guys are not going to make $60 million.
Nick Caserio or the general manager of the Carolina Panthers shouldn't just be relieved of their duty. They should be fired into the sun.
Yeah, 100%. So it's not happening. So then we look to the year after and it's like, okay, well, one of these veterans like Lamar, like, who knows, like which top guy could like re-leverage Justin Herbert. Like, I don't know, maybe one of those guys could make over 60, but really what's most realistic is Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams. One of those guys is going to make probably $65 million a year, or all three of them will. And how do the three quarterbacks over these next 12 months, how does everything fall out with
right
cap management? How much money do the teams have? How well do those three players, even Bo Nix could be in the conversation if he has like a absolute meteoric year, which Jalen Waddle should help. And so those, I guess, four quarterbacks, it'll be a fascinating 27 offseason for quarterbacks as a whole, because we're supposed to be seeing like six quarterbacks coming into the draft. I bet it will only be three, but there'll still be three better quarterbacks than any of the ones that we're looking at in 26. And then there will be the element of Drake May getting paid. Is Patrick Mahomes going to sign a $1 billion deal instead of a $500 million deal? So it's
or does he just ask for naming rights at the new stadium or something? Like, does he he take like a George Lucas deal on Star Wars? Like, I'll issue my directing fee in 1976. Just let me make money off the toys. And now, you know, $53 billion later.
George Lucas. Yeah, I just saw that on Twitter as well. That's funny that that fact just came up in our conversation. Yeah,
because new movie, you know, Mandalorian movie coming out, the Star Wars release coming out on the 50th anniversary next year. Mm-hmm. And more. Don't get me going down that nerdy wormhole, because this podcast, which has already gone 5 minutes longer than I promised you it would be well into the afternoon. All right, so we like what everything the Patriots have done. The draft needs definitely our edge rusher, developmental tackle. I don't think they go for a wide receiver in this draft. A tight end maybe to also groom behind Hunter Henry would make a lot of sense as well. Anything else you could see the Patriots doing maybe a month from now when the pick comes in Pittsburgh?
Well, the beauty – this is a cop-out, but I genuinely believe it. The beauty of the way that this team is constructed currently and that the runway that they have with Drake is that they can take any position. I think that they can take
Yeah, they don't even have a third quarterback right now. You're right. After Dobbs got released and Cutlets got his deal.
They could. I think it would be admittedly quarterback is probably one, you know, quarterback and special teams are positions that they probably wouldn't take. But I could see them taking any spot in round one. Obviously, if they don't end up with A.J. Brown or they don't think they're going to end up with A.J. Brown, I don't hate the idea of them drafting a receiver. Even in round one, like if Casey Concepcion is there, why not? Like, that's a pretty great player in the Josh McDaniels offense, pretty great player in any offense. But, you know, I kind of imagine they might, because how much money they spent on defense last offseason, and honestly, they invested even more in it now. I kind of like the idea of them starting to bring younger and cheaper players onto that defense so that as these contracts get bloated and like out of control, you could start to move on to some of them. So I don't know, would they go defensive line? Would they go, you know, even linebacker?
You lose Tonga. Barmore can be so hit or miss at times as well.
Right.
You kind of do need, because Landry's knee is an issue. So you may need to bolster the ranks at edge rusher.
Exactly. So
Spillane's not getting any younger.
Right. It's not a great draft for edge or even defensive interior, but it is a good draft for linebackers. There are some good linebackers that can do a lot of different stuff in this group. So maybe they just find the position of strength and they just go after it, especially if it's defense.
Yeah, especially, you know, they let Tavai go. They let Gibbons go. They bring in KJ Britt. So they know they probably need to add a little depth there as well. Fascinating stuff that we'll keep both of our good eyes on in the next couple of weeks. You're a baseball fan, right?
Honestly, no, I'm completely baseball illiterate. I'm basically as a person with
baseball agnostic. Oh, very good.
Yeah. Oh, like I love going to baseball games and accidentally completing the 9-9 challenge. That often means that I'm basically not watching. I'm like, oh, look, like, this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm like there for the beautiful grass and the sound.
No. That's what baseball means. Like to me,
you
know, I work for the Red Sox radio station, but also like there's to me, baseball, as much as I love the Red Sox and they've always been a part of the fabric of my sports fandom and just my life growing up on the South Shore of Boston, to me, no, it's way more about, you know, hanging out with my kids or friends in the yard, the games on the radio, cooking out, just spent the day at the beach or had a nice day with the family. Like it's the white noise of our existence. And
baseball's a vibe. Baseball's a place. Baseball's a state of mind. I don't know who's on the team right now, but I love it. I love being baseball adjacent.
All right. I know I got two youngins. They're a little older than yours. You're definitely on the younger side. However, I will promise that, if at some point you want to take in the vibe sometime at Fenway this year, which way too expensive for me to promise a 999er on me, but we'll definitely get after it one day sometime this spring or summer, all right?
No, I would actually die if I did it, man. I know
this point. It'd be non-functional for the 48 hours thereafter.
So sick.
All right, folks, make sure you give him a follow. He's got great stuff. Read his columns at foxsports.com and give him a follow on the socials at Henry C. McKenna. He did tip his hand to me off the air as to what he's planning this summer for training camp and anticipation of the 2026 season. And if you love football and you love America, you're going to want to follow all of his exploits because they will make for a great read, a great listen, and a great watch. Until the next time, and as always, this is your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens saying thank you for listening to the latest Six Rings and Football Things brought to you by WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. We'll have more coming up as well. Mago joins us for news, notes, and nuggets at the end of the week. But until the next time, take care of yourselves. God bless. And as always, go Pats.
Two teams, one cup. The primetime stage is set for the TGL presented by SoFi Finals, Los Angeles Golf Club versus Tigers Jupiter Lynx. Keep up, it's playoffs. Tune in Monday, March 23rd, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, and Tuesday, March 24th, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.